Hey, I'm Mitch Goldman. It's the Deep Focus Podcast. And we are November of 2019. Jack DeSalvo's in the studio with me. And the topic is Keith Jarrett, something very close to Jack's heart. If you missed parts one and two, you might want to go check them out first. You can find all of our content at your favorite podcast app, or you can always find us at Podbean on the web. It's mitchgoldman.podbean.com. And here's part three.
And that could be just because he was in pain, and the piano was in pain as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's what came out. I mean, maybe even a hyper focus brought on by that.
Yeah. I mean that. I know that happens from my experience being around music being created, but that happens more than people realize. I think that there's, you know, you do everything to make it right. You know, people know, but they don't really know. Like, we get there hours before the show, and there's sound checks, and there's equipment that gets rented, and people showing up with things and figuring out all that, and then the downbeat comes, and sometimes no matter what level, I mean, it's not just like something that happens in rinky dink, you know, bar band playing on the corner type shows. It happens no matter how hard you work to avoid it. There are unexpected things that come into play on the day, and I'm always consistently amazed at musicians' ability to just sail above that.
Brings me to a story that maybe we talked about the last time I was here, because we were talking about Ronald Shannon Jackson's music.
Who you played with.
Yes, and him. I was on tour with Ronald Shannon Jackson in Warsaw at the Jazz Jamboree in, you know, many years ago. And
back in the 1900s.
That's right, in the last century. And one night when... I guess it was after we performed at the Tsala Kongresova. Mm-hmm.
Which is a big, huge concert hall.
Huge Stalin-era concert hall. I was asked by some Polish students, I guess, to play at the Club Raymont.
Is that the place right across the street?
Yes.
Okay, I know that place.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was right across the street. It's got to be the same place.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to play with Miles Davis Band, which I, of course, said yes to, but I didn't have my guitar with me. And there wasn't time for me to go back to the hotel and get it. So someone brought a guitar. It was a Les Paul with five rusty strings.
Oh, God. Wow.
But still, that was one of the most memorable performances of my life, not only because of the band, but the music was on such a high level. And I was able to somehow make it work without a high E string.
Gee.
So it happens.
Yeah.
And the rest were rusty.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it's funny. And there are people, younger musicians, a lot of the time will be like, boy, you know, if I could just get the J9000, because I'm still playing with the J6000, and I'd be so much better, and everything would be right. And like, yeah, nope.
Nothing is truer than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the fingers. It's in
right? The spirit and the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So as much as, and that's a textbook example, that Köln concert, that all the efforts to work that stuff out of the music still comes in, and it does maybe inform it in some way. And that becomes the best-selling piano recording in the history of...
Piano recording.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. To this day.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, Keith Jarrett, the glossy, dismissive kind of... brush that he's painted with by his detractors really does not hold up to the light of a real examination. And
no.
I think this recording we heard from Bremen's a great example of that.
He really wanted to be treated as well he should be, in my opinion, as great artists would, as Horowitz or Yasha Heifetz. People would not be coughing or calling out
Freebird,
or my song,
the
Jared song.
Right. Yeah. Very true. Well, this has been a treat, Jack. Hearing this concert was a great pleasure, but hearing it through your ears was a gift, man. Thank you for coming through. And we have some more live Keith Jarrett recordings. And you did say, I forgot for a minute there, but now I remember which of these recordings we're going to listen to. And this is another just amazing blessing we have. And I just threw at you a little printout with who's on this and where and when it was recorded and the pieces that they do. Maybe you can...
This is so good that you did that, because the last piece they're playing on here is called Piece for Ornette. And it's not by chance that Jarrett wanted to play with Charlie Hayden. What might seem antithetical to all the other influences we were talking about, a huge influence on Jarrett and his mode of improvisation is Ornette Coleman. And you can really hear it in his trio's music. He tried to write music in the style of Ornette Coleman, which Ornette called harmelotics. Later on, the trio with Keith Jarrett, Charlie Hayden, and Paul Motion was augmented by Dewey Redman, obviously an associate of Ornette Coleman, and on other recordings with Guillermo Franco on percussion. And we'll hear it here, clearly. With this trio, on some of their early records, which, I forget the label his early records were on.
Atlantic?
Yes, Atlantic. Yes, before he did that one album for Columbia. And when he does...
Which Ornette recorded for early in his career.
That's absolutely right. He does a Bob Dylan song and a Joni Mitchell song, which from her album Blue, I think, All I Want. And so he was, you know, the kind of folk rock bag he was reaching into.
Yeah.
Even with his more jazzy trio.
And clearly, there at that time, there was definitely... a lot of back and forth with that audience. And
yeah, there was a cross-pollinization which is no longer exists.
So it seems,
yeah.
We could bring Herbie Hancock into that conversation too, but
right.
We'll save that for another show. But it would fit. It would easily fit. So, yeah, this is a thrill. This is another radio broadcast. This one recorded at the Maison de la Radio in Paris. So this... In every territory in Europe, there are radio stations that are funded by or property of the government, either federal government or local government, and they're well staffed with live recording capabilities and engineers, and they're funded, and they have a mandate to present music of cultural value, which thankfully American music like this was included among. And we heard it in the previous recording from Bremen, and the French radio, the ORTF in particular, they developed a bunch of these. You know, it's true in Denmark, it's true in Netherlands. They actually developed methods of recording acoustic music, and they make some really wonderful recordings. So we're going to hear the benefit of that. This is actually recorded at the in the middle of Paris, there's this, it's called the House of Radio. And in French, and it is truly that. It's and they do a lot of these recordings. It's a studio with a live audience and everything. So that is where this arises from. And thankfully, it made its way to the KCR archive. Keith Jarrett, in addition to piano, plays soprano saxophone, wooden flute, and tambourine. You hear Charlie Hayden on the bass, Paul Motion on the drums. This is from June of 1972. What else needs to be said? Jack DeSalvo here in the studio with me. I'm Mitch Goldman, and we are in the presence of the music of Keith Jarrett, WKCR. Thank you. just saying that if somebody told you this recording was made in 2019, you'd say, wow, they're great. Who is that?
Yeah.
And you'd be right. But this recording was not made in 2019. If you're just tuning in, we are WKCR, and that is Keith Jarrett Trio, recorded in Paris in 1972, 47 years ago.
Phenomenal.
And the Keith Jarrett Trio is Keith Jarrett playing piano. He also did that soprano saxophone solo. Charlie Hayden on the bass, Paul Motion on the drums. And this recording, not a familiar recording, even if you're a great devotee of Keith Jarrett's, because this was a radio broadcast from 1972 from Paris. And although some of these songs are very familiar to Keith Jarrett fans, like my guest here on Deep Focus, Jack DeSalvo in the studio. Jack, you selected Keith Jarrett, and all kinds of new insights about his music are emerging from you. And you've been paying attention to this guy for quite a while.
What's amazing is to hear this after hearing solo piano
performances. Yes. We had a two-hour deep dive in a solo recording, and now this trio, on the face of it, maybe not so different, but there's a whole other thing at work here. Maybe you can unpack that a little bit.
You can hear, I mean, there's so much improvisation here, and but they're built around compositions, tunes, essentially, that Jarrett wrote at the time. But they're playing so freely. I mean, Charlie Hayden had, you know, played for so long before this with Ornette Coleman. Paul Motion had played essentially free jazz all through the 60s, although he did a lot of other gigs too, mostly folk rock oriented gigs, which he liked. It wasn't just for the money. But all this comes together, and so even though you have composed music, they're all essentially playing freely and improvising every second of it. Other than, you know, some melodies and maybe the harmonic basis, the heads of these pieces. This connects to the pre-improvisations we heard. And when I say free improvisations, it might not resemble what we think of as free jazz, but it's still completely improvised of the solo piano music we heard earlier.
Well, you know, you play free jazz, and or what gets called that.
Yep.
And one of the interesting things that other musicians I've spoken with have said about playing free jazz doesn't mean that you have to play music that's free of any structure. It means you are free to
that's
play
exactly
music
it. Yeah.
Of whatever variety you want, structured, unstructured, however it might be, however you might choose in that moment. And I think Keith Jarrett's the embodiment of that.
Exactly. I mean, he is completely improvising without, at least as far as we know, without preconceived composition.
But and he's improvising yet, a structure.
Yes, you hear the structure. You hear songs in some cases. Interestingly, two groups that I've played with, first it was D3, now it's with the group Sumari, and we do the same thing. Consciously, we want the result to sound like, well, that's a piece of music, even though we don't discuss it beforehand. We don't know what key we're going to play in. We don't know dynamically what we're going to do. The ideas just flow out, and we react to each other and consciously create structures. And that's free. But to the listener, it might not sound like it's free jazz.
Well, taking Keith Jarrett's part, I mean, you don't put a band together with Charlie Hayden and Paul Motion if you're not looking to have to explore some new territory.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could, actually. But both of them actually did play in groups that played very traditionally ordered music, but they also had the ability to go
sure.
far beyond that.
Charlie's own Quartet West,
yeah, perfect example.
Yeah.
That was not free improv.
Essentially straight ahead jazz.
Yeah.
Which he loved to play.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was a great labor of love for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul Motion played pretty free, whatever he did. But it was free in the sense that our traditional concept of what drums should be doing, keeping a beat or, you know, coming off of keeping a beat, he got past.
Yeah.
And he played colors, he played time, he would play an intense groove, or he might just suggest one. And also, his drumming was very, very influential on further generations of players, especially in Europe, where their drumming is full of color and ideas, and even if it's a very composed song, and it creates a lot of different kinds of shapes and activity around something that is might be somewhat static.
Jack DeSalvo is my guest. The show is called Deep Focus, and Jack is showing you why the show is called Deep Focus. And Jack DeSalvo performing A Night of Trios December 20th at Shoal Street Studios in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And we're not going to, even if we play it at 78, we're not going to fit this whole set into tonight's show. 3 hours zooming away. We got just a couple minutes left. What else? Anything else we want to, ground we haven't covered, things we want to share with the audience?
Just to quickly mention, Jarrett had a period of time where he performed a lot of classical music.
Yeah.
Especially Bach and Mozart piano concertos, and some new composers. In fact, on Arvo Pärt's first album on ECM, he partners with a great Russian violinist, whose name escapes me right now.
I'm not going to throw guesses at you on the radio.
to play one of Arvo Pärt's pieces on there. And obviously, all this activity and studying these scores informed his solo piano music. If you listen to his latter solo recordings, they're very different. There's a lot more going on in terms of these kinds of influences.
Well, I looked specifically for this show for recordings that might reflect the kinds of things you were hearing.
Oh yes.
Early on, I think
it makes so much sense. I mean, it was those recordings, obviously not what you played tonight, but the Köln concert, Bremen Lausanne, that I was thinking of. I mean, I would just, like, obviously you can't play, you don't have 10 fingers available on the guitar, if 6 strings, but I would find a way to get a drone going in the bass and just listen to that and develop melodies off of that. And then, of course, it grew from there, but that's completely influenced by what Jarrett was doing during that period in the 70s.
Yeah, no doubt. I hope you'll give us an opportunity to hear some of your live improvisations coming up. I know there's nothing scheduled right now, but when you do, you got to let us know.
I will.
And let me remind listeners that they can find out by going to jackdesalvo.com. Finding you on Facebook, and they can also find out about your recordings, your Unseen Rain Records releases at unseenrainrecords.bandcamp.com.
Indeed.
Jack, I'm so grateful for you coming through tonight, man. This has been...
This has been a joy. It's really a joy to be with you in the first place.
Absolutely. Way overdue. This is what I got to do to hang out with you. Again, invite you to come do a radio show. Yeah. All right. Well, we are WKCR. I'm Mitch Goldman. Deep Focus is a program heard sometimes here on Monday nights. And Jazz Alternatives is the program heard every weeknight from 6 to 9 p.m. And we're going to leave you with a little bit more of Take Me Back. What better title to end with? From Keith Jarrett Trio, recorded live in Paris, June of 1972. Charlie Hayden on the bass, Paul Motion on the drums, and music from Keith Jarrett on WKCR.
That's our show. I hope you loved it. If you did, you can find dozens and dozens more almost as good. You might like them better. I don't know. Neither do you, unless you go to Deep Focus. The podcast is called Deep Focus. You can find it on most of your favorite podcast apps. We are hosted at Podbean. You can go to mitchgoldman.podbean.com. mitchgoldman.podbean.com. All the episodes are there. Click us, tell us you like it, subscribe, do all that stuff. We're just giving it all away. Really hope you enjoyed. If you do, tell a few friends, send them around to Deep Focus. I'm Mitch Goldman. Thanks for coming along.